welcome back and happy Tuesday. We are coming to you from London, and I have another incredible friend here with me.
Hi.
So this week we're going to be talking about the role of trust in financial services. And Gela Boscovich, who is the founder of Femtech Global, is an expert in this. Gela, you've spent a lot of time thinking about trust. You talk to people all over the world, especially in Europe and Asia. So let's explore this a little bit further. What does trust look like in financial services? And it's funny because when you think about what banks say that they have, that relationship with their customers, it's all about trust. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, so I'm not an expert, but I get to hear a lot of conversation. I get to think a lot about it. So maybe I just spend more time with it than most people. Let's be honest, trust is an esoteric, really sort of ethereal theme and thing. You can't put your hands on it, but you know it when you have it. And I think one of the things that we're really challenged with in financial services is that concept of trust and how technology can either enhance it or detract from it, and people's general levels of comfort with a robot doing things. And I'm not talking about robo-advisory, but like, you know, automating and trusting a system. There are challenges that we've been talking about all week, especially at InnoTribe because we're here at Cybos. And the theme has been trust in a hyper-connected world. And what does that look like when you're talking about identity of an individual? And what does that talk about when you're doing security and privacy? What does that look like when we're talking about the future of money and it's no longer cash and we're moving away from this thing that we can touch, taste, and smell? Don't taste it, it's dirty. But that you can, you see it, you feel it, and you can hand it over, and it's instant, and you know that you have some sort of value in exchange for whatever is being done, and yet we're moving very much away from that.
Yeah.
So what does it look like in a digital space? I know these are not new concepts to our industry. We've been talking about it for a long time, but what's really struck me is we use tautology. We use these firm, fast, fixed tweets, sort of statements, that really are much more nuanced when we unpick it. Spent a lot of time yesterday actually talking about payments as a killer app for identity. And that in itself is, you know, to throw that assertion out there as a tautology. And our challenge is it's so much more nuanced than that. And here are the things that we're discussing on stage and in our blog posts and articles, and we're not actually taking the time to look at how nuanced and frustrating they can be, right? And there are counter arguments for every single point that you would make. And I think that actually kind of decreases trust overall. So if we go to the market and we're saying, this is true, this is real, and we find out, not really, when you unpack it all, it looks like a terms and conditions from Apple 44 pages, when what you told me is this one line, it's supposed to do this, and you're like, not really, here are all of these caveats. I think that really does sort of break down trust, right? And I think maybe just the way we talk about financial services and what we're doing and transformation and all of these things, we're asserting a lot, and it's really kind of, it's picking away at this notion of what I tell you I'm going to do with you without any hidden fees or hidden challenges, and I'm going to make you whole no matter what. And we all know that isn't always the case. It's an
Absolutely.
Ideal state, and it's our intention, but it's not always the case.
Well, and on that point, I mean, when you go talk to any financial institution, and by the way, the fintechs do this as well, it's like, oh, well, we have that relationship with the customer experience. What's most important to us is a customer, but then it's, you're saying that, but show that. It's like, that's almost, you're saying it as like lip service, as opposed to how are you actually doing that? If that's the case, then like, why do overdraft fees,
right,
you know, exist,
right,
and things like that? So what do you think is maybe one or two things that, like, immediate things we can do to start changing that, where there really is building that trust back up?
Actually saying we don't know it all and we're not sure. And being, actually, there's the other thing with, like, when we're talking about new technology, anybody in the industry also speaks about things that they're doing that they can't yet deliver. So part of it's like, you know, my pops always said, never talk about what you're gonna do, only talk about what you did. And part of that rings true. On the other hand, we have to talk about these interesting things in order to get ground support and to actually start to put together new things. We need to talk about it before it's built. But I think the one thing we actually can do is very simple, clear, what do we do? And we don't need to go into the fancy tech, but what are we going to do and have a solid and assured production line that delivers on that? So if we're going to make changes and we're soliciting feedback from the market and from our customers, that's one thing. But I also think we need to clarify terms and conditions, right? So there's that transparency thing. We talk about it as a notion, but tell me very simply, in plain language, what are you doing? What is this service that I am purchasing from you? What happens if this goes wrong? Or what happens if I, as a customer, quote-unquote, breach contract? And what are you going to do if you, quote-unquote, breach contract? So part of it is just simplifying the, like, clarifying that contractual relationship.
What happens with my data?
Oh, let's not even go there. Okay, if we're going to get complicated, let's talk about data. First and foremost, you as an institution or a fintech or anybody don't own it. And I get so incredibly frustrated with the corporations that sit on an application layer that say, no. No, we're selling it because that's our commercial proposition and that's our business model. It's like shenanigans.
Yeah.
And just wait for the litigation to happen. In fact, I'm incredibly obsessed with the Irish High Court case against Facebook and the transmission of European citizen data across country lines into U.S. servers. And, you know, I mean, it's just indication of what's going to come. But frankly, yeah, you don't own my data. So let's actually turn this conversation around, and how are you going to commercialize that for me and commercialize it for yourself? How are you going to inform me about my consent to do this, and how are you going to prove that you can actually deliver on the value of my data? Because you've been exploiting me for years. And quite frankly, I think we need to educate the market and people to understand what that means when they share and release data, that there has to be a clear transactional value from it, but also it's their right to not do it, and it's their right to direct their data usage as they see fit.
Yeah.
So customer data rates, granted, we're still trying to articulate those in various jurisdictions and have a really clear legal framework and liability chain of custody, but we haven't. But on the same time, we need to start educating the market and actually honoring those customer data rights.
So education, transparency, and actually doing what you're saying you're going to do.
Oh, amazing. They're like principles for life, right? Imagine that. They're applicable to business and banking.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. Always a pleasure having these conversations.
I'm so glad you're here. Thank you.
Thank you all. As always, please click on the link below to read the full interview with Gela. Her background is one for the books, I will say that. You need to write a book.
Under a pseudonym, and all names and character names will be changed to protect their...
Until next week.
Bye.